today we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark and sharing Jesus. When you read through the entire book, it kind of ends abruptly, and you're kind of like, okay, now what? What do we do here? But the very start, he made it clear that this was the gospel about Jesus Christ and the Son of God. And the resurrection should leave us in no doubt of that fact. Do you believe that we serve a risen Savior? That we have the only God that is alive today? Man, you guys should be getting goosebumps and getting excited here. So I like to look at history and look at stories, and I love history, because until recently it never changed. History was history. So this man, his name is Horace Greeley, and his statue now stands in New York. So this man, he stood back in the 1800s with $20 gold pieces. Now think about this. In 1800, it was $20 gold pieces. But he was offering them for $1. Throughout the day, thousands of people went by, and he's yelling it out, $20 gold coins, only $1 today. Everybody walked by him, one after another, all day long. Until a few minutes before he was getting ready to set up shop, an old lady came up to him very cautiously. She took that coin and she bit it, because that's how they checked for gold then. She threw it down on the pavement to hear what it was going to sound like, because it has a different sound. You can actually do that today with pennies and some nickels. Back in the day, they were made with something different, and they have a different sound. Until finally, she's like, you know what, I'll give you a dollar. Then it found out it was real. A few minutes later, she came back with two people in tow. They bought out everything that he had. They bought $160 worth for $8. The next day, and 4 to 5 days later, there were crowds lined up down the street waiting for him to come, and he never came back. Well, this is a true story. This man came to New York with $10 in 1831, and he started what is now known as the New York Tribune. He was responsible for the incident and demonstration of his theory that most poverty is due to the fact that the general public refuses to believe even in the face of overwhelming evidence. Same thing goes for Christianity. Most people are not believers because they refuse to see what is facing them right in front of them. They refuse to put the wall down and see what they will gain from it. So today, we're going to look at unbelief. Now, many of you may be saying, I'm a believer, I believe, but does your life show that? Does your life truly show that you believe? Are you always down in the dumps? Are you always complaining about something? Or are you always be like, oh, poor me? Then you don't really believe. Because God puts us through those things for a reason. I am honestly praising the Lord for Braden being in Iraq. One, I got to see him. Two, he has to slow down. Three, my two older kids stepped up like you would never believe. Tori was gone for a week, and I've already said, I cannot do the mom and dad thing. If you are a single parent, praise God to you. And if you are someone who has a single parent in your life, you need to help them out as much as possible, because it is only because of Cameron and Aubrey that the younger two are still alive. Camden came home early Thursday so I could come and work on my message. I would go at 8 o'clock every night and work on my message while Tori was gone. And Camden and Aubrey took care of the littles and got everything else taken care of. That's belief. God will provide. God will take care of things. When we went out to Michigan in May, it was the most miserable trip of our lives. You all remember that. We went in through up through Hazen's Notch, cut a tire 3 or 4 hours later. We were finally on the road after leaving at 4. I came back, not learning my lesson, apparently. I listened to my GPS. Tori's best friend, Kennedy, was with us, with me. And I'm like, oh, this better not be taking me through Hazen's Notch. I don't know where I'm at. And then I get into the town of Montgomery. And I'm like, this looks really familiar. And then I'm like, oh, that's the tire shop that doesn't sell tires. Oh, that's the general store. The payphone doesn't work. Oh, no, this is Hazen's Notch. And I looked over at Kennedy. I said, don't tell Tori. We get up over it, and it was fine. God got us through that and got us home and no problems. It was amazing. But unbelief leads to spiritual poverty. How many of you would love to have more money? I think it's funny. All you're like, nah, I'm not raising my hand. No way. All right, well, then if you have enough, I'll take some. How many of you think your spiritual lives are suffering? Oh, no hands. Okay, we have two and kind of a quick hand. If you are an American living in this country, in this world, your spiritual life is suffering. We suffer spiritual poverty. Look at how many things are in our world today to take us away from our spirituality. When I prayed, I said it was very easy for us to kind of close the door on things that are going around here, when you're here. But out in the Midwest, it is a whole different story. It was scary. Like, everybody had masks on. And if you didn't have a mask on, I felt like they were going to scald you or shoot you, one of the two. I mean, it was just different for me. And that's what I'm noticing is when we get into certain crowds. Now, how many of you are on Facebook? Most. Now, I'm not getting into politics. I can't stand politics, but you're either for Trump or you're against Trump, one or the other. You're going to be with your friends, whoever agrees with you. So you're going to see everything on your feed that is either for or against, depending on what you are. You're not going to see the other side. Same thing with Christianity. You're going to be friends with Christians. You're going to see the Christian side of things. You're not going to see what's really going on in the world, and that's what I saw when I went to Michigan. What's really going on in the world. We live in spiritual poverty, and we allow ourselves to just let it go. We live in spiritual poverty despite eyewitness accounts, circumstantial evidence, and changed lives. Now, I want you to think about this. Pay no attention to where it says text up there. I obviously left boxes there. The eyewitness accounts. How many times has something happened in your life that you look back and you're like, huh, I'll be doggone. Or the circumstantial evidence. Or the biggest one, changed lives. I remember when I went to Michigan for the first time as a pastor there, I met with a lot of people that disagreed with Pastor Mick Funderburg, because he grew up in that area. And apparently he was not a good boy when he was growing up. But they failed to see the changed lives. I was not a good boy growing up. Not a good big boy either sometimes, but hey. Changed lives. The past is the past. They're not going to see that. We as a spiritual believer have to be able to see that changed life. How can we move past or remove the unbelief? How can we do that? Yes, absolutely, you can do it. Jesus rebuked his disciples for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Now this was his disciples that followed alongside of him that had unbelief. What about us? Do you truly believe? Now look, I've already told you my stance on masks. You can either wear them, whatever. But if the Lord's going to call me home, he's going to call me home, mask or no mask. It is what it is. Unbelief is removed by seeing. We actually have to go out and see. We can't hide in a closet and be like, oh, we're good. I'm just going to sit right here. We have to be able to see. I correlate now, after being in Michigan this last time, the same thing that I saw when I was here in 2005. I left Indiana to come here. It was an extremely dark place when I was here. I was a new believer in 2005. I came here. It was dark and wicked. I leave here now because I have my comfort zone. I have my people. And I go to Michigan. And my eyes are opened up a lot more because because you see different things. So we have to be able to see. In verses 9, 12, and 14, we see where the unbelief is removed. Verse 9, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Verse 12, after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. And in verse 14, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Now we have it. We have the account right here. We can't dispute it. We can see it by reading it. But more importantly, in your life, how many people do you know that has had someone in your life come to know the Lord? Somebody else besides you. Do you know someone in your life? Have they changed? Now, and I don't mean like overnight, and I don't mean that they're perfect in 20 years, because that's never going to happen. But have they changed? If you haven't noticed a change, I have to ask you a very, very tough question. Are you changing? See, that's one thing that I've noticed. Some people may change if they're believers, but because you refuse to change and forgive that I spoke on a few weeks ago, you don't see that change because you're holding your heart and hardness against them. That's how we get rid of the unbelief. We see it. Mary Magdalene in verse 9, the two on the road to Emmaus in verse 12, and verse 14, the disciples, and notice that it wasn't until then did they see him that they believed. So Jesus had to come to them and say, look, quit hardening your heart. Believe. After he had risen. Wouldn't it be so much better if we were just walking with Jesus? You know, you actually can walk with Jesus today because we serve a risen what? Savior. We serve a risen Savior. How does Jesus appear to you in your own eyes? When you hear the word Jesus, what do you think of? Quick, snap it out. Word association. Jesus. God. Love. Hope, brother. Savior.
I am.
I am. What else?
Friend.
What's that?
King of kings.
King of kings.
Sustainer.
Dad. I was waiting for the Father. Lord of lords. Have we made him our Lord? Is he our Father? Is he our King of kings, our Savior, our sustainer? Have you heard the true gospel with your own ears? Has it sunk in? Do you believe what that true gospel is today? We can meet Jesus in the way the disciples met Jesus. Now listen, Mark, I'm not calling you out, but I just love what you said this morning. I seriously am privileged that Mark gets here early and I'm here with him and we get to have chats in the morning. And what Mark said was awesome. I don't answer to people. I answer to God. Amen 100 times. We don't answer to people. We answer to God. When people tell us no about God, too bad. That's on them, not on us. Has anybody ever been told no before? Are you still alive? Absolutely. Now, I know some people are going to be like, yeah, but the world we live in today, Christians are being persecuted. Okay. Big deal. God's in control. We don't fear man. We fear God. God is in control. We can meet Jesus where he is. But don't leave it to the point as if yet you don't believe, because it'll be too late to believe. You can see him and meet him today. I worked with a guy. I loved him. I thought of him as a dear friend. His name was Tim Pittenger. He was a police officer. What do police officers carry with them every single day they're on the road? It's on their hip. Okay, a little more lethal. A gun. Boy, that was quick. No, they don't carry body cams yet. A gun. This was his words. I shared the gospel with him over and over again. Of course, I was on fire. I was a new believer. I was taking practorum classes at work. I was watching the videos on the TV. That really irritated them. But he's like, you know what? I'm going to have all the fun I can now. And when I'm on my deathbed, I will accept the Lord. How many of you know when you're going to die? Like the date, time, second, you know? Listen, a good friend of mine, who I used to pastor with up in Michigan, his boss died a few weeks ago. He was 43 years old. The man worked out every single day. He told Tori, the guy was nothing but muscle and bone. Odds aren't looking so good for me. I'm 42 and I don't have muscle or bone. I have padding. But he died like that. We don't know. So you don't live for the moment, you live for Christ. Erase the unbelief. Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus, now get this, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Do you bow to him? Now, I heard somebody say, King of Kings, what do people do to kings? They bow. Lord of Lords, Fathers, do we truly bow to God? Do we have things in our life that are spiritually making us poor? That if we just got rid of it, we'd be able to actually be spiritually rich? John 20:29, Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. I love this verse. Let me read that again. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Have you ever seen Jesus in person? Have you seen him in flesh and bone? No, but you sure can read about him. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I've had it posed to me many times. He said to me, but Brian, what if you're wrong? What if God really doesn't exist? What if you're wrong? What if he really does exist? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you out anything if you follow the Lord and you're a good person and you try to help other people out and you live by the Lord? Absolutely not. But for those of you, those who don't believe, and God is true, which he is, they have a lot of answering to do. C.H. Spurgeon says this, faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and touches, that is wrong, it's supposed to be intangible, and does the impossible. Does the impossible. Now, how many times in your life have something impossible happened? Ever happened to you guys? Give me some name. Name it out. Mark, what you got, buddy? You know, some people will be like, Mark, it's weather, who cares? That's what's on Mark's heart. What's on your heart? What are you praying about? What do you see? Yesterday, 2 days ago, something like that, Aubrey and I prayed out by her market because she has all these mums and all these pumpkins and they're just going to sit there and rot if they don't sell. I'm like, Lord, Aubrey, let's just pray about it. And it was so cool to sit there yesterday and watch people come buy pumpkins. Apparently, we're going to have lots of mums planted because they didn't want those. But pumpkins. What does God do in your life for the impossible? Have you ever known somebody to come to know the Lord that you never thought would come to know the Lord? When you hear about it, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you'd ask anybody that I went to high school with and you tell them that I'm a pastor that doesn't know, they're like, what? There's no way. When I worked at the police department, we had a chaplain there, and every time he came in, like every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word, just to get under his skin, just to mess with him. Not anymore. Do we have unbelief? This is when the soul of a human becomes being into contact with the divine living God and receives the gift of faith. Now, I forgot to write the verse down, but we read it. It says, those who are baptized in belief. Baptism, just so you all know, in that verse, is not water baptism. That's baptism by the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he baptizes you. You come to the faith. Don't take that out of context. And if I want to take the time, and I come down here and find it, but I'm lazy. Right there. Look, the Lord revealed it. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Verse 16, here we go. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Now I want to ask you this question. If someone is on their deathbed and they accept the Lord and you haven't baptized them, are they saved? Absolutely. That is Spirit baptism. When the Spirit comes upon you, the Spirit comes upon you at the time of salvation. He is the one that starts directing and leading you. If you haven't come to know the Lord yet, what are you waiting on? I mean, seriously, I will never forget, I preached a message at this mega church for a funeral. And I talk about hell in my messages because it's a fact of life. And I had two ladies come up to me afterwards, like, man, I haven't heard the word hell used in church in years. What are they teaching? Let me explain it to y'all. How many of you are afraid of the dark? Absolutely, I'm with you guys. I don't like the dark at all. We're supposed to be light. That's what I go with. But hell is so dark that when you put your hand in front of you, you can't even see it. Hell has so much heat that your skin boils and your teeth gnash. That's hell. I can't get in around it. So you get to choose heaven or hell. It's pretty simple. How many of you like the hot? How many of you like the boiling skin hot? Yeah, I don't think so. Now, just think about it this way. What if I'm wrong? What if you're wrong? That's the question you have to ask yourself. The unbelief. Whoops. This thing is not cooperating with me today. It is removed by sharing. Now, I ask you guys, how many of you have shared the gospel before? Like, you actually went out and shared. How do you do it? Do any of you just go up to the street to anybody and just like start sharing the gospel? Or is most of yours personal gospel? I've done both. I'll be honest with you, it's easier for me to do somebody that I have never met before in my entire life than it is the personal side of things. I had a man who taught me a little bit on observation. Adam Gordon, right here in front of me, this is not the one who taught me. I'm using him as an illustration. He took offering today. What footwear is he wearing? Don't look. Sandals with socks. He's rocking the socks. How many of you did not notice that he had sandals with socks on? Adam, I'd wear it too. They hurt. They rub your feet. But listen. Did you see the reaction that we got when I said that? Do you know how much you could share the gospel with that one thing? That one thing. Oh, I see you have your feet covered so they don't hurt. Do you know who can cover your whole life? No, that's you're in good hands. Are we looking for it? Can you pull that out? Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go. Now remember, look at this. This is not a suggestion. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Nowhere, anywhere in this, nowhere does it say pastors, deacons, elders, trustees. Doesn't say that. It says, go into the world. This word right here scares people. I'm not a preacher. Oh, I've heard some of you preach. It ain't the word of God, but I've heard you preach to all creation. This is a command for every single one of us. I'm going to show you how this works. When I came up here, my whole reason to come here was to revitalize both churches. I had all these ideas in my mind. Outreach, outreach, outreach. Candy carnival, mother-daughter banquet, men's banquet, a friendship banquet, all this kind of stuff. We did outreach down at Lamoille Valley. 700 and some people came through the door for that candy carnival. How many people are there today? Zero. I started doing discipleship with people. One, I became spiritually fitter, if that's a word, so to speak, because they would challenge me. I know of at least three people that are now believers because of people that I sat with, who then sat with other people and shared the gospel with them. What's the better outcome? One-on-one. Doing right here what this verse says. If they tell you no, they tell you no. It's going to happen. But that's not what we're told to do. We have to share the good news. I'm going to kind of show you an illustration of how this works. Because we've already picked on Adam and his socks. Adam, would you please stand? Could you come right here? Right here. Greg was the most vocal one on what he was doing. So, Greg, could you please come up and stand right in front of him, facing him? Come on, it's easy. You won't do anything. Just stand there. Listen, I'm going to show you how awesome this is, how it works. Greg, you just have to do one thing. Just stand here and look at it. No, she's fine. She's fine. She'll come up here. Okay. So, boom, you did that. Now, Greg, you walk away and you go to your seat. Adam, because I know who you are, and you're kind of an outgoing person, then you go and you talk to Trent, and you talk to Flo. Come on up, Trent and Flo. Chip chop. Face them. Face them. All right, now Adam's sharing with you. Boom, you became believers. Adam, you walk away. You come forward, you turn around. Now, because I know Trent is not very outgoing, but Flo is. Flo, you go out and you talk to who do I want you to talk to? You're going to talk to Aubrey, Cockburn, and Camden. So you three come up, you stand over here with Flo. Trent, because you're not the most outgoing person, you're only going to talk to one person. And Keisha, you come forward and he talks to you. All right? But because she comes to know the Lord, that charges you. So then you go and you talk to Hayden. Hayden, come on. Now, Flo, Trent, good job. You can go sit down. You see where this is going? Everybody stand up that was just here. Stay up there, Flo. It started with one person, and it went to this. This is what Scripture says. If you come here on a Sunday morning to get that, you're wrong. This is to happen every other day. If you truly believe and you're not suffering from spiritual poverty, then that is what will happen on a daily basis. It is not the leadership's job or whatever to go out and bring people in. It's your job along with that. Any of you ever went and skipped a rock? And here comes the records. I got 11 of them. Anybody pass 11? I have 75. I'm just kidding. What happens if you just take a pebble and you throw it in the water? What happens? It ripples. It may not skip, but it ripples. In 1997, December 31st, I was in this room. I was playing a game. I believe it was called, it was either Taboo or Scattergories. I don't remember which one it was. I know we had to write a lot of answers, and that wore me out. I got home in January, and this Bible, right here, came to me in the mail. Had a bunch of sticky notes in it. This Bible came to me. That was in 1997. Well, 98, technically, in January. It is now 2020, 23 years ago, because I did it from 18. Or, I mean, from 2000, what, 97, whatever it was. 23 years ago, a stone was tossed, and it rippled. 23 years ago. And it started with this, the stone. Are you going into the world making ripples to see God work for the belief? How did you come to faith? How did you come to know the Lord? Do you remember it? Do you remember it clearly? Were you excited? Are you as excited now as you were then? It's okay to say no, because I have my ups and downs too. Does your heart break when you come up to somebody that's a non-believer and not living a life that they're supposed to be living for Christ? So what do we do? How do we get past that? The gospel baton has been passed on to us. Jesus came, taught his disciples. The disciples then went out and taught. The people they taught went and taught. And it's been passed down generation to generation to generation. Unfortunately, instead of happening what happened up here in the illustration, it's going the opposite way. People are taking these and they're burying them. They're not opening them up. They're not going out and presenting it to anybody else. They're just living their life saying, you know what, I'm a believer, I'm good. I don't need that. But we do. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Let me go back to that last verse. Preach. Preacher. That is not pastor, elder, deacon. That is someone that is sharing the gospel. Someone that is teaching another person about what they have to lose. It's a life or death situation. It's either you're going to be have an eternal life in heaven or an eternal life in hell. Sharing the gospel.